Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is taken from our epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You all are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. The children of light. What a title. It's reminiscent of the Apostle John, who said of our other title, the children of God. He said in amazement, what an incredible thing that we should be called the children of God, the children of light. But that's what we are. And so our text today begins to teach, as our Father, our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, begins to instruct his children for a particular time in human history, that they should be well equipped, well knowledgeable of the events that are about to unfold, because he loves them and he has gifted them with talents to accomplish his will in those days. Unlike the foolish virgins, unlike the foolish man who buried his talent, God has given to us the things that we need in this day. Paul begins our text today by this rabbinic saying, well known to the scribes and the Pharisees and all of those of higher learning of that day. And these would be words that also would be known amongst the Jews, who were now interdispersed as the gospel went forth with the Gentile people. But we see that Paul, the great rabbi, used his rabbinic skills to bring forth divine revelation, to show that although this is kind of coming in secret to the world because they're just asleep, God has clearly unveiled these things and made them known to his people throughout all generations. He begins our text today by saying, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, the times and the seasons. That, again, is a quote basically right out of Genesis, where times and seasons, days and years had their origins. You'll recall that Genesis passage where it said, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night. And let them be for signs and for seasons, religious festivals, for days and years. term here in Genesis says signs and seasons, days and years. But seasons really means a religious festival, a time of remembrance, a time of when God is going to reveal all the things about the fall and all things about his redemptive plan for man. So they're very significant. So when Paul says, you know about the signs and the times, and these times and these seasons for the end days have been made very clear to the children of Israel and to the church. One of the things, the lack of knowledge that because God has so clearly portrayed these seasons in the festivals and that of the Jews, that when Jesus came, he said, how is it that you're so good at science that you can discern the times, but you didn't know, according to divine revelation, the day of your visitation, the day of my first advent, the day of the incarnation of the Son of God? How is it, O foolish generation, that you missed that day? This text that Paul talks about here, he goes on to say, we don't need to write to you concerning any of these matters. We have been teaching you well. And I don't have any doubt that many of the leaders and the elders within the congregation of that day, Paul poured in particularly strong teaching to teach not only those after his departure, but that they could pass this knowledge on to all the faithful that gathered there. But he tells them that in that season that is ordained of God for the second advent, when Christ will come and wrap up time and bring an end to this fall and this great destruction that the devil has brought upon humankind and the whole creation, he says that you no need that I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. You know, from last week's text, we heard about some of these festivals and terminology that is used in the festival. We hear that Jesus, like here in this text, Jesus is coming. His second coming is one of almost secretive, stealth. He's coming like a thief in the night. But last week's text, talking about this same Advent period, was clear that when Jesus finally steps through after receiving the command from the Father to go get his bride, that when he steps out with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Of course, one of those festivals in the Jewish time today is Rosh Hashanah, the new year. But the Hebrew word for that is the Feast of Trumpets. It is a time to proclaim that God is coming. It is a time to proclaim the end and the beginning of something new. And so again, in our text, Paul masterfully brings out those seasons and the terminology that are related to that season. So there he says there's a time about the second coming. Everybody's going to know about it. When Christ steps out from heaven, every eye is going to see him. Every ear is going to hear. And every heart is going to be convicted instantly where they stand with regard to their relationship to God. But our text today focuses on the stealthy part of the season of Advent. Even as Jesus said, at the coming of the Son of Man, so it will be as in the days of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Enoch before him was a preacher of righteousness. He walked intimately with God, and God took him. He was the first one to be translated without seeing physical death. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and yet nobody heeded. And Jesus said, my coming, it's going to be just like those days of Noah. They've heard the message, but they're going about life as if there's nothing to worry about. Marrying and giving in marriage. Seeking job opportunities. Building up 401ks. Because you know we're going to live a long and prosperous life, don't you know? Well, again, as the Feast of Trumpets declares that very open and very eminent day that Christ is now coming, Paul says about the stealthiness coming as a thief in the night in this season, what it's going to do and the effect it's going to have on the people of God. Some of the people of God, again, they all have the clothing on, don't they? Some are wise. Some are foolish. Some have been given talents for such a day as this. Some have used them, some have not. But the one thing that is common of the people of this day as these events begin to unfold, Paul tells us, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Who is it that says, when they say peace and safety? Of course, again, it's the world. The world is asleep concerning the things of God. The world has no time for the word of God or the messengers that come from God. It's foolishness to them. But it's also, in many ranks, those sitting in the pews, in many churches, the foolish virgins who have religion, a form of religion, but deny the power thereof, absent of the Spirit of God. They have religion, so externally out in society and wherever they may go, they can look like good people, godly people. But yet they are no different than the world. In fact, they are the very vessels that began to bring the world into the church, began to conform congregations and peoples more into the image of the world than into the image of Christ. Our text says it will be sudden destruction. Sudden. The talents that was given to the men were given gifts of God, the gifts of grace, to be the children of light. That's a gift to a dark world. The 10 and the 5, they took those talents and made more. They went out and proclaimed the gospel and brought them into God's house. But the foolish ones were ill prepared when this sudden destruction would come. But the children of light are like the first responders in this time that is coming. First responders. What does a first responder do, and what advantage does a first responder have when they come to an accident scene? When sudden destruction comes upon a people, an earthquake, there's confusion, there's panic, there's fear. Most people are so afraid, they're absolutely immobile in their actions and their thoughts and their emotions. But God's children of light are not that way. You have been well equipped, as Paul said. You know with certainty the teachings of God's word. You know the seasons that God has designated. You are well versed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you show up onto the scene of destruction, just like a paramedic. In fact, paramedic gets the term from when Jesus said, when I ascend, I will send another helper to you, the paraclete, the one who will come alongside you, strengthen you, give you the ability, superhuman ability, to resist the temptation of the devil, superhuman ability to know and proclaim the gospel, superhuman ability to stand under trials. The paraclete comes alongside us. And even in times when we don't even know what to pray, because the pressures can be on us, But God says, I've given you the Holy Spirit who will intercede for you when you know not what you should be praying for. He's our helper. So a paramedic is one who comes alongside people in distress to an accident scene. And they are trained not only to be able to assess the situation, they don't let their emotions overrule them where they become immobile. They act quickly and precisely. They know what they're doing. They have the cure. They know how to provide comfort. That's exactly what the talents God has given to you, to be a paraclete for the people when these days begin to come and unfold. And I believe we are standing at the door. Are we ready to use our talents? Are we ready to proclaim to the people the cure for their fear, the cure for their distress? And truly, a cure and a knowledge how to escape that eternal judgment. Again, the man who received the one talent, when he gave an account to the master said, take it. Now take him and cast him into a place where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Again, that judgment is an eternal judgment, as the world is going to be eternally judged for all that they've done and said against God's Savior, His Son, His beloved one, and what the world has done to His bride, to His children of light. Paul is telling us as we gather here together, because I know from sitting in the pews and listening to the Word of God that my conscience is back and forth, is listening, is hearing, is trying to discern, where do I stand? I don't have any time to worry about where the neighbor next to me stands. I'm just a little too busy, preoccupied with where do I stand in this day? Because as we know that in the church, even amongst the foolish virgins, there are the wise. There's God's remnant. And in these last days, the external church is going to be in serious trouble. But Paul has given us also the message and the understanding of how we should stand in this day. He says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you as a thief. We are going to know that day. I know with a fact that we stand at the door. But Paul says this. He says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you as a thief. No, you are sons of the light and of the day, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. If you've been slumbering, wake up, okay? Wake up, as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Listen to this. Pay close attention. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Putting on the breastplate of faith, that faith of our fathers, that apostolic faith that is known in that one holy Catholic and apostolic church, there abides the faithful teachings of the apostles, so that Paul himself would say, the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. Not only are you children of light, you, the church, are the pillar and foundation of truth to those that are absolutely confused and saturated with false philosophies and false wisdom that only lead to destruction. But God has called His church to be the pillar and foundation of truth, because you have His Spirit. You have His Word. You are the ones that can be the first responders. When all darkness, the lights go out, you can call out, don't be afraid. Fear not. God is here. He is attentive to the hearts that are seeking Him sincerely at that time. You can give them the answer. That's the breastplate of faith. And you're doing it in love because you know that by God's grace, that He so loved you, that He pulled you out of this broken world by His grace. You know. And you have a sincere love that's been shed upon your heart by the Holy Spirit to love those who are fallen in the same place you once were. He loves you, and He loves them, for He desires that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And then He says, and put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Why are we doing? Our knowledge, our mind is fixed on those very things. We've been trained in the gospel. That's what this parish should be doing. Every Christian parish should be making disciples, training its people in being first responders to death through the curse of the fall, and bringing the only escape, the only cure that God has given to mankind, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age, right up to the moment He comes to get His bride. Would you do me a favor this week and seriously pray about that? And would you begin to be active in making the bridal party even bigger? That's what God's called us to do. And may God give you the grace and the peace to accomplish that task. In Jesus' holy name, amen.